Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Warbirds in Review 010. You know what? This is just a wonderful venue here, the Scott's Warbird Alley. Let's thank again Mr. Jim Hagedorn for this. The subject of today's program is Little Margaret behind me here. It looks like a P-51, doesn't it? It's not. It's an F-6. And the owner of the F-6 here today with me is Butch Schroeder. He restored this beautiful airplane, and it's a great story. You're going to love it. We're going to talk to Butch at length. And next to Butch is the original pilot of Little Margaret. Watch your head. This is Colonel Clyde East. Welcome, these guys.
Let me let you sit here.
Butch, this is the old story about the airplane in the barn. You know, you just happen up on it, and there it is. So 1980, you find Little Margaret in a barn or a garage.
That is correct. In 1980, we found this airplane completely disassembled in a household garage in St. Louis, Missouri. And the airplane had not flown since 1949. So the stories are true, you know, the car in the barn or, you know, whatever you happen to look for. You never want to dispel those rumors. The man that had the airplane originally got it in California. The airplane was disassembled, set in this man's backyard, and it was his children's gymnasium. And he refused to sell the airplane until his children were, you know, raised and gone. And the man that I bought it from bought it. He lived in California, he lived in St. Louis, he lived in New York, and the airplane always traveled with him. So when we finally got a hold of the airplane, it was in St. Louis. We took six pickup trucks and four car trailers, hauled the airplane home. We spent on and off 12 years restoring the airplane. And I think we brought it up here in 1992 for its first time. And we had it judged. And we won Grand Champion Warbird in 1992.
This thing is detailed down to the cameras. Am I correct?
That is correct. It still has one of the original photo reconnaissance cameras back in the fuselage. To our knowledge, there was 136 of these aircraft built at the factory. And to our knowledge, this is the only one left in the world in its original condition. And as he had said, most everybody knows that they're P-51 Mustangs, but actually this is an F-6D.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It looks like a Mustang from the outside, except for the camera ports. And talk a little bit about the role of the recce airplane.
The Mustang, I believe if I'm correct in saying, was the only fighter that could take pictures and shoot back. I think the P-38s, they put the cameras in the nose, removed the guns, you know, so in turn they could not fight. But we were researching the history of the airplane. We found out, you know, what original squadron that it flew in, and we were trying to find out, you know, what the actual colors were. The only thing that we were able to find was black and white photographs of the airplane. And a friend of ours was out in the fly market, came across an artist's rendition of Mr. East's airplane. And I asked the person selling, you know, I mean, are the colors correct? And he says, you know, if you'd like to, you can just call the pilot and he'll be glad to talk to you. So that was my first contact with Mr. East approximately 20 years ago. And I called him up, introduced myself to him, never knew him, had never heard of the man, and asked him, you know, if it would be okay if we painted our airplane to represent the one that he flew in World War II. His comment was, I'd love to. And it started a wonderful relationship over the 20 years that we've known each other. We've had the airplane at several different occasions where he's held his squadron reunions. I think the most memorable one for me was they were having a reunion at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I received permission to fly in there and put the airplane on display. And this was the first time that I met his wife, whom the airplane is named after. And I was there before the group come out, and I watched this little lady, you know, come hustling across the ramp, and she found this man that was standing there in uniform, and she must have thought that that was the pilot. And she run up to him, gave him a great big hug, and he says, "No, I'm not the pilot. He's standing over there." And so she come run across the ramp, grabs a hold of me, and it's really wonderful to be able to meet these people.
Thank you, Butch. You know, I just met Colonel East this morning, and he gave me permission to call him Clyde, and that's a real honor. But I'd like you to meet my new friend, Clyde East.
Hi, thank you very much. It's so nice to be here, my second visit to Oshkosh, and it's even better than last time.
Clyde, sit down where it's comfortable. You don't have to stand in the sun.
Okay.
I appreciate that gesture, but it's too hot to be standing up all day long. Let's talk a little bit about your training. You went to the RCAF in Canada, and talk about the training process.
Well, I joined the Canadian Air Force in 1941, and as much as I was below age to qualify for the U.S. Air Force or the Navy. And a friend and I had promised we would go to Canada together and be pilots. That, of course, was about the fastest way that you could get your wings in those days, because the Canadians had a short course there. They needed pilots very badly in England, because the Battle of Britain was on at that time when we began the discussion. But it stretched out, and finally I told him, to heck with it, I'm leaving whether you go or not. So I went to Canada in June of 41, and they accepted me with open arms, as they had some 4,000 other people from the States that went up expecting to participate or study to be members of the air crew.
Which airplanes did you train in Canada?
Well, I trained in the Fleet Finch and also the Tiger Moth and the Harvard. The Harvard might be a little doubtful to you, some of you, but it is was a T-6, which was the standard trainer worldwide generally for the Allied forces. And it must have trained 10,000-20,000 pilots during the 3 or 4 years that was in the war. But I got my wings from the Canadians for flying the Harvard, and was fortunately for me, I was sent to England as a fighter pilot trainee, which was something that a few years before I thought would be absolutely impossible.
You know, Colonel East is the leading reconnaissance ace of our country with 13 victories. It's very unusual for a reconnaissance pilot to even see a victory or see an enemy aircraft, and to get a victory was very unusual. So how did you do that? You must have planned that.
Well, I consider it luck, because there may have been other pilots in the air with the opportunity, but I considered my position was one that if I happened to shoot down an airplane while I was on a reconnaissance mission, nobody was hurt but the other airplane. And consequently, after a short time, that happened over and over. So there were certain levels of command that swore that I couldn't possibly be doing a proper reconnaissance after I had 10 or 12 victories. Well, I did not argue the situation, but we got a rule that you could not engage another aircraft unless he engaged you first. Well, being 100 or 200 miles from headquarters, it was my story. So from that point on, they were all came at me out of the sun, and I responded in a dogfight, and nobody could say anything about that. Another reason that I obviously had better chances than anyone else was that I was a flight commander, and my scheduling my flight allowed me to pick the missions that I considered would be give me the best chance of doing a good recce and also maybe seeing an airplane or two on the way.
Well, you had photographic evidence that you were doing your job. You not only photographed the results of the bombing or whatever on the ground, but you had photographic evidence of the kills, right?
In many cases I did, yes. And that is the source of the picture that you were mentioning a few minutes ago, that Butch was mentioning that he had seen, that I had shot down a German light bomber. And he had bellied in a onion patch, and I went over and took a picture of him, and that was the subject of a painting that Mr. Mike Machot had done, and that's how that particular photo print came out.